got a good word just for you. See, the enemy can't destroy you, so he distracts you. He distracts you with bills that you got to pay. He distracts you with needing a job. He distracts you. He makes you weary in your spirit. But see, the one thing that I've discovered is you are elevated through your obstacles. Every time a giant comes in your life and you beat the tar out of that thing, what should have taken you out is taking you up. See, because without those giants in your life, you wouldn't know how to pray. Without those giants in your life, you wouldn't be able, the world wouldn't be able to see Jesus come through for you and miracles take place. Anointed for exactly where you are right now, for what you're going through right now. There's some of you ain't gonna need your therapist not another day in your life. You've been going to Bertha and she's been telling you, how does that make you feel? She done prescribed you to all kinds of medications. You walking around numb. You can't feel nothing because, see, that's exactly what the enemy wants. He doesn't want you to be able to open your mouth and praise your way out. So what he does is he has you walking around numb to the world because life has been tough on you and life has been hard on you and you've been walking around saying, why me? Instead, you need to begin to say, bring it on, devil, because I know that there's something on the inside of me. The devil's telling you there's a storm coming. Some of you need to whisper back to the devil, I am the storm. Boom, shaka-laka-laka, boom. Devil, should have messed with somebody else. You understand what I'm trying to say? You should have picked on somebody else because I've been quiet. See, and people have been sleeping on me, okay? People have chalked me off and wrote me off. And, oh, but today, oh, I went to Church of the Harvest Fayetteville and I began to open my mouth and begin to decree some things over my life. And before I knew it, I felt a breakthrough and now I'm not stuck anymore. So, devil, you should have taken me out when you could have. Because I am the storm. Something about walking through hell and coming out on fire. You don't care what nobody says about you no more. You don't care if they gossip on you. You don't care if they talk about you. Because you realize the devil wouldn't be fighting you if there wasn't something amazing on the inside of you. You've been fighting your whole life. You've been fighting your whole life, honey. And it's only because, listen to me, thieves don't rob empty vaults. There's something powerful. And the minute that you begin to open your mouth and praise your way out. Oh, 1 Samuel 17:9. My sermon today is called Undefeated. Undefeated, baby. You must have confidence that God will bring you to victory. On my Facebook statuses all the time. People like, I'd be on there, I'd decree and declare over you today. And they're like, I hope so. I'm like, well, it ain't happening for you. This word was not for you. It was for somebody else because you done tampered and stopped yourself and got yourself all stuck. Well, life don't look good for me. Well, when you begin to open your mouth and say, wherever I am, I'm going to praise my way out. I'm going to praise while I'm in the storm. And I'm going to realize that every storm runs out of rain. So I'm just going to praise my way out. And I'm going to keep praising until something happens. It may not be tomorrow. It may not be the next day. But being depressed, you ain't getting you nowhere. You better learn how to open. Oh, you won't. He says in Romans 8:28, he says he's working all things together for your good. That means your divorce. That means that sickness. That means that bankruptcy. That means that bully at work. Some of you need to walk up to your mountain that's in your face and just walk up and say all things. Begin to prophesy. You're an all thing. I don't know how he's doing it, but I know he's doing it. I know that he said that I am the first and the last. He said that my ladder will be greater. He said that he's working exceedingly abundantly, more than I could ever ask or think. He said he got my back, and I trust him even when I can't trace him. Let's begin with an example from the story of David and Goliath. It's found in 1 Samuel 17:9. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us. God used Goliath to get David to the throne. That's right. See, your giants aren't meant to defeat you. They are meant to promote you. Let me say that again. God used Goliath to get David to the throne. Your giants aren't meant to defeat you. They're meant to promote you. You can also have the confidence that you fight the good fight and God will protect you. He's got you. Consider the words of Jeremiah 1:19. It says, they will fight against you, but will not overcome you. For I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. This thought leads right into the scripture found in Matthew 16:18, which says, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of death will not overcome it. You know what I love about this story is that David, his promotion came when David brought lunch to people who didn't believe in him. Some people will eat the lunch you bring and run you down. Don't let it keep you from killing giants. You got to be at a place in your life. See, this is why the enemy distracts you, because where you need to be, he's using that storm that you created to get you to the promotion that you're about to have. If I wouldn't have walked through my divorce in 2006 and literally being raised that if I get divorced, I'm going to hell on a slip and slide. You know, I was the only one in my family that couldn't keep a marriage. And if I wouldn't have walked through that divorce, I would not have been on the side of the road one day in a hoopty because I lost everything, okay? Sitting on the side of the road while the car was overheating and smoke coming out of my car on 75. And I wouldn't have picked up I didn't have nothing else to do but just sit there. So I thought, well, let me just try to do a video, you know? Because it's like God gave me I didn't have to have a wreck, a texting or updating my status. No, I was just sitting there, didn't have anything else to do while my car was overheating. And I did a video that went viral. See, what happens is the God uses the mountains and the giants in your life to use you as a promotion. This is why you can't walk through life hating your situation. Right now, where you are is exactly where you're supposed to be, or you wouldn't be there. Because he's a God that can right now do a suddenly in your life. But a lot of times what he's doing is he's trying to use those giants in your life to get your character prepared for where he's taking you. He said, I'm going to use the mess that you're staring at. You've always kind of been a brat, Kim, and you've always just kind of like, I want it my way. I want it right now. And he said, now look, you got yourself in a pickle. But I'm about to use this, because if you wouldn't have walked through some of the hell that you walked through, you wouldn't have no empathy on nobody. You would still feel like you got it all. I'm a spoiled brat. I don't care about nobody else's situation. No, he uses that very thing that's breaking your spirit to save your soul. I'm anointing you. Life would be easy if our call was not a call to faith and courage. David had heard from Samuel that he was going to be the next king, but it was not long before he discovered it would not be a simple life of living in a palace and giving orders. No, soon he would be facing giants. Every giant introduces a person to himself. A crisis doesn't make us, it only reveals who we really are. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Like you'll be married to that person for 30 years, having 5 kids with them. They done seen every part of your body. And then all of a sudden a divorce. You're like, who are you? And where have you been my whole life? Like, what, you are mean as a snake. See, what happens is when you're going through some situations in your life, you're fighting with your ex, you're fighting with the sickness, it reveals who you really are. You know those people that got all the faith in the world, but the minute they get told they got cancer, they're like already planning their funeral? They didn't got their songs picked out. Mm-hmm. It reveals what's on the inside of you. You're going to cave every time something happens. Are you going to learn to use those giants to strengthen your core? Our promised land is on the other side of giant land. Our promised land is on the other side of giant land. Giants are often tools by which God uses to prepare us for bigger things. God used Goliath to get David to the throne. The giants aren't meant to defeat you. They're meant to promote you. Let's look at what giant killers do. You a giant killer? Are you a giant killer? You ain't scared of no ghosts. You ain't scared of them creditors. You're going to answer them 1-800 number tomorrow when they call, ain't you? You've been running from them, getting your heart palpitating every time the 1-800. Oh, you owe the money and everything, but you just if I don't answer, it's going to go away. You better answer that call. Because, see, God can't do nothing with that. You've been praying for debt consolidation. Right now, you're on the bad birdie list because you won't answer the call. But when you answer the call, all of a sudden, he puts you in a list, in a pile, where all of a sudden, he can start working some miracles for you because you did your part. Giant killers don't start off as giant killers. He did not start off as a giant killer. What do we know about him at this time? He was a shepherd boy. All of his brothers were out there, and he was the shepherd boy. 1 Samuel 17, 14, and 15 says, David was the youngest. The three oldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. But things were about to change. 1 Samuel 17, 16 through 24. I remember whenever I had my shepherd, my out in the field experiences. Because something happens when you find yourself back at your mom and daddy's. I just started realizing that me and my husband, he was 55 when I married him. And he moved from San Diego, California to here. That was only 6 years ago. And we were living with my mother and my daddy in a 10 by 10 bedroom, the same one that I got healed in. And I told them I was only going to live with them for a year, and God kept me there for six in that little bitty room, and then I married Mark and brought him in the room with me. 55 years old and me 40, and here we are having to live with my mother and father and start all over again because of a call, because we were facing some things in our life that God was preparing us just 6 years later to be in this position that we're in right now, where I travel 52 weeks out of the year and I preach all over the world. I preach in some of the biggest platforms in the world. But you know what he was doing? He was using those seasons to get me. I was out there learning how to chisel my faith, honey. I was out there learning how to kill lions, and I was going to get to a place where God was anointing me, and it was going to be better than seminary. I was going to be able to walk into a room and never even have to open my mouth, because I had slayed some giants, and those giants had made me strong. I knew how to begin to prophesy over. I didn't need nobody laying hands on me. I knew how to lay. Come out. I would lay hands on myself. Because life and death and the power of your words, boo. It says in 1 Samuel 17, 16, 24, that place that you're in right now that you don't understand, instead of praying and asking God, why? You need to begin to say, why not? I was built for this. God knew this was going to happen before I was ever even a thought in my mama's womb. And he's given me grace for this thing. So instead of being pitiful, I'm about to get powerful. Instead of allowing myself to fall in a million pieces, I'm about to learn how to dance on the devil's head. You hear me? Oh, I'm going to praise, but people are going to look at me like I'm crazy. Because I shouldn't be praising God, but I'm going to praise him. 1 Samuel 17, 16, and 24 says, for 40 days, the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. Now Jesse said to his son David, take this weight of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers are and bring back some assurance from them. They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah, fighting against the Philistines. Early in the morning, David left the flock with a shepherd, loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, and greeted his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. When the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. Let's look at the observation here. David did what he was supposed to do. The army was not doing what they were supposed to do. What else is a giant killer? Giant killers see the potential reward if they defeat the giant. They see the potential reward if they defeat the giant. 1 Samuel 17, 25 through 27. It says, now the Israelites had been saying, do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his father's family from taxes in Israel. David asked the man standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" They repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, "This is what will be done for the man who kills him." He's like, "I ain't scared of no giant. I can see him right now walking out there." Some of y'all looking at your giants, telling God every day how big your giants are. You need to walk up to your giant. "Oh, I'm about to take you down today. I'm about to pull down everything holding me back." See, the army saw Goliath, but David saw God. The army saw the problem, but David saw the potential. Most people fear the giant more than the reward. That thing can't take your birthday. What else does giant killers do? They don't listen to doubting critics. They don't listen to doubting critics. The way we handle criticism will go a long way when it comes to defeating giants. How do we handle criticism? We must get away from the Eliabs. They're always trying to keep us down emotionally. 1 Samuel 17:28-30 says, "When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, 'Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the deserts with? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. Now, what have I done?' said David. 'Can I even speak?' He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the men answered him as before." Observation here. Criticism hurts when it comes from someone we love. Criticism hurts when it questions our motives. Criticism hurts when it's continual. Criticism hurts when it comes from people we have known for a long period of time. But see, you got to get to that place where you realize that I am a giant slayer. And so what happens is, whenever you get around these kind of people, listen, get by the Sauls of life. They are over us positionally. He was the king. 1 Samuel 17:31-33 says, "What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, 'Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him,' Saul replied. 'You are not able to go out against the Philistine and fight him. You are only a little boy, and he has been a fighting man for his youth.'" A critic is one who points out how imperfectly other people are because of their own insecurity. Do what the critic does, not do at all. For example, Saul. We must get by the Goliaths. They are over us ability-wise. 1 Samuel 17:41-44. "Meanwhile, the Philistine with the shield barrier in front of him kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, 'Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?' And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. 'Come here,' he said, 'and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the air and the beast of the field.'" Critics point out our failures. They like to remind us of our failures. What else does giant killers do? You got to get away from them critics. And you got to put yourself in front of people that are where you want to go. You got to get in a position where you put yourself in place where people are pushing you to break down breakthroughs and not breakdowns. Where people can prophesy and pray over you and keep reminding you of where you're going. What else does giant killers do? Giant killers are not overwhelmed by the challenged. While the army covered in fear, notice the words of David. He says in 1 Samuel 17:32, "David said to Saul, 'Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him.'" Man, when I got to that place where I started realizing this is just part of our training, me and Mark are going to have something because the world's watching me and Mark. Because I had made so many mistakes in my life and created a bunch of those giants in my own life. But then I started realizing for every giant, there's a stone. And in every season, God was using that place that I was in to get me qualified for where he was taking me. It's only been 6 years and I've written 3 best-selling books. And I don't get a paycheck from here. God takes care of me. You know why? He trusts me. When you become a giant slayer and he trusts you, then he's going to put you in position where you rule over others because of what you've made it through. Observations about people who are overwhelmed by giants. They're overwhelmed when our giants confront us, overwhelmed when our giants have a reputation, overwhelmed when they continually show up, overwhelmed. Others on their side are afraid, overwhelmed, and never deal with the giant. Why? David was not overwhelmed because he had a passion for God to be honored. David was indignant for the way God was being dishonored. He had a desire for the reward. He had a confidence in God and himself. Giant killers build on past successes. Giant killers build on past successes. They begin to realize, God, I'm about to tap in. See, I had a legacy in these two right here. These two raised me on a church pew. So what I did was I started using that season when I was driving to Bloomingdale's and I would put on T.D. Jakes. I was learning how to preach. You hear me? Because listen, here's the problem. A lot of times we are in the process of praying for something and waiting for a big miracle. And God is saying, I need you right here. While you're in this place where you can't hear me, you're like, God, are you really there? He knows my name. I don't think he knows my name. He knows my name. And the more you begin, the reason people were weeping in here during that song was because something happens when you begin to look at the successes. You ain't dead. You're still here. People gave up on you. You maybe ran 5 people off with your big mouth, but now in this season, God is beginning to heal you and prepare you. This is Free Life College. You're not wanting to give up anymore. You're not laying in a bed of depression anymore. You're getting up and getting ready, fixing your hair and beginning to prepare because today might be the day that he moves you from the back of the line to the front of the line. Today might be the day that someone gives you a free car. Today might be the day that your credit score go from 400 to 800. What? Giant killers do not try to be something they are not. Giant killers, man, something happens when you lose everything. You don't care no more what nobody thinks. If I wouldn't have walked through those seasons where everybody was talking about me, I wouldn't be standing up here at 45 years old with a mohawk in my head, okay? Something happened. I got free from people, honey, and I was intentional about it. I was intentional about getting free from what people said about me, what people talked about me. I was getting free. I was looking fear in the face and getting free. You hear me? Giant killers do not try to be something they are not. He never tried to be Saul. Even when Saul put his, remember when he put all that stuff on him? Then Saul dressed David. It says in 1 Samuel 17, 38-40, it says, then Saul dressed David in his tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he wasn't used to them. Then he said, I cannot go in these, he said, because I'm not used to them. So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch in the shepherd's bag, and with this sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. I'm going to tell y'all something. It's like the church world all does the same thing. That's how come you got to get so confident in this season where you become who you are supposed to be, and you're in your own lane. If I would not have gone through those seasons where I learned who I was in God, I'd be walking around with the same big old shoulders and look like all the other preachers out there, all the Kojic preachers. I'd be looking just like a big old bows, high heels, trying to preach and falling all over. But because I walked through those seasons and found out who I was in those seasons, I got so free from people that now I'm in my own lane, and that's how come God's using me. He's using people that are in their lane that have found out when they hit rock bottom who the rock was at the bottom, which was Jesus. They became a giant killer, honey. Nothing scared them. Nothing scares me. I get asked all the time, how did you get so you? Like, how did that happen? I lost everything. And God used that stuff to humble my tail. And guess what? When I was at the rock bottom, there wasn't nobody there for me. People were talking about me. People were lying on me. Then I get on Preachers of Atlanta. They all lying on me. I mean, it was like I was going through scrutiny after scrutiny after scrutiny after scrutiny. And even when I was on Preachers of Atlanta, I was still so bothered by people pleasing. That was the giant in my life. You hear me? I would go on that page at Oxygen, and I would read everything they were saying about me, and I did it every day. People were like, don't you be reading what people are saying about you. I'm like, I'm going back to that page every day, and I'm going to look at all the saints that are cussing and all the other stuff on that, and I'm gonna do it every day until I can go on that page and not feel it in my heart. Because until you get to a place where you don't care what nobody thinks about you, when you get to a place where you are free and free indeed, when you get to a place where you can walk in a room and let people look you up and down, and you can be like, what, cute ain't it? That's where the anointing lies. We will try to hide who we are. We'll try to be invisible. We don't love ourselves anymore. We've allowed people in our life, relationships that tore us down and told us we had a big behind and a five-finger forehead and a butt in your nose. And now we don't even feel good about ourselves anymore, and we've lost who we really are. No, you better learn how to stand in that mirror and start saying, girl, I love them thick thighs. I love that five-finger forehead. Oh, girl, you are bad, mamma jamma. You are powerful. You are one of God's favorites. I dare you to begin to prophesy over yourself until you allow those cataracts, spiritual cataracts, to be removed from your eyeballs. God only expects us to use what we have to defeat our giants. That's why you got to make it through this. You got to make it through where you're at. Some of you have been there way too long, and it is time to get up and start walking out. You are numb. You can't even pray. You can't even cry no more because you've been hurt so bad. Some of you need to learn how to begin to lay hands on yourself, because once you come to know Jesus, all old things have passed away, and he's made things new in your life. You hear me? It don't matter what they say. Karma was supposed to come in your life and take you out, but instead, oh, grace took its place. It's almost like Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul did everything they said he did, but he didn't allow them giants in his life to hold him back. No, he began to praise his way out. He began to do what he was supposed to do. And even when the people, when he got bit by that snake, and he must be a Christian killer. You know what he did? Shook that thing off and said, you watch as God uses me. That's what some of you need to do in this room. You need to start prophesying over yourself until you see yourself differently. Giant killers face the challenge with a higher purpose. He was not simply defeating a giant. He had a purpose for the victory. Giant killers are eager to win. Giant killers can't wait to make it through what life's told you is going to take you out. That generational curse on your life, you're going to break it. You're going to break it. Some of you need to start breaking the generational curse off your life so that your kid don't have to go through the generational curse. You ain't got to be an alcoholic. You can break that. God said that I've given you everything you need on the inside of you to break off addiction, to break off things off of your life. You just need to begin to see it and see yourself out of it. Giant killers are eager to win. Giant killers take those around them to a higher level everywhere they go. They make the atmosphere better. Man, I used to hate people. Okay. Because I was raised in a preacher's home, and I watched saints hurt my parents and hurt me, and I hated people. And you know what God did? He put me in Estee Lauder, where I had to do makeup on one person, and I had to sit there and feel the breath hit my face. And I was mad. I was like, you are punking me and you hate me. I can't even do makeup. I was raised in a religion that said women wear makeup, they're going straight to hell. I can't even do makeup. And here you got me doing makeup on somebody. I can feel her breath and I can't stand her. And I want to get permanent marker and put her eyebrows all the way up to her hairline. That's you hate me. He said, you're going to complain and remain, or you're going to get what you're supposed to get in this season. This is going to be better than anything. This is going to be better than life college, honey. This is better than going to seminary. You are about to get healed in the middle of the storm that you created. And I started watching people getting set free. I would watch as they'd come back in every Friday. I'd be like, oh, Lord, here comes Isabel. She'd bring in the only thing she bought. That lip gloss, the only thing she bought, she bringing it back. And I'd say, you bringing back your lip gloss? I was feeling this big. I was broken. I was defeated. I was having to work at Bloomingdale's for $9 an hour, driving a hoopty over to 75, always overheating on the side of the road and having to live with my mom and daddy. God, you are punking me. He said, no, you're right where you're supposed to be because you're a single mama. You got to work, take care of your kids. So I'm going to use that place that you're at, that giant in your life that's always stumped you up. I'm going to teach you how to love one face at a time. And then before you know it, you're going to love people back to life. And you're going to love little bitty millions of little thumbnails all over social media. Then I'm going to bring you a bald-headed, sexy white man into your life. And then all of a sudden, I'm going to start restoring some things. See, you got to be right where you are. You thought it was hell, but it's right where you're supposed to be. I'm about to use giant, Kimberly, and I'm about to bring you full circle. I'm going to bring you out. I'm going to restore your credit. Right now, your credit can't even buy no cheese, but I'm going to get you to a place in the next 6 years while I'm putting you through the process of defeating these giants in your life. I'm going to begin to endorse you. I'm going to begin to give you the title deed that's already yours. I'm going to make you an authorized user. And boy, in 7 years, one day is going to change everything, because when you wanted to give up, you got up again, Kimberly. You are. Y'all are coming out of that thing. Working at Eckerd's, working at Walgreens. Got degrees and you can't even get a job because you're overqualified. You can't even pay your student loans back because you're overqualified. Because you've been needing your father to tell you good job. And he never done it. And now you got all these plaques sitting in your closet. Because you never could look at those giants in your life and take back everything the devil was stealing. Joel 2:25, he said, I'm going to give you back everything the devil stole. Amen. That even means the storms that you created. I don't know what giants are in your life today. But what I am telling you is that you're a giant slayer, baby. Devil's been telling you storms are coming and you're scared because you think, I can't take no more. Anybody ever been there? I can't take no more. Guess what? You did it before, you'll do it again. Because with God, all things are possible. He said, I got your back when they're talking about you. I got your back when you're facing cancer again. I got your back when your child is a prodigal son. I got your back when you had to move from a 5-bedroom house to a 1-bedroom house. I got your back when you're sitting on the side of the road with your hoopty overheating. I got your back when they cheating on you with your best friend. I got your back, baby. I got your back. You are the storm. When the devil sees you wake up in the morning, he says, oh, crap. Here she is. Here he is. And today they're waking up a little bit stronger. They've been walking with the back down, defeated. But all of a sudden, they're waking up on Monday morning, and their back is getting straight, and they're feeling confident, and they're feeling like, devil, bring it on today. I dare you to bring it on today, because I'm about to show out in God today. These people are watching me, and today's the day that I have a turnaround. Today is a day that I get unstuck. Today is a day that I stop asking for God to do my will, and I begin to say, Father, have your way in my life, because your way is always better than mine. I don't know what giants in your life, but if you've got some giants, I want you to stand up on your feet. I got some giants. Depression, oppression, family situations. I'm so proud of our church. People are stepping out and starting their ministries, starting their cleaning services. People are stepping out and jumping. We got CEOs in this house, honey. We got business owners in this house. You're beginning to feel your worth. You're beginning to build on what you've got in front of you. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak over every person in this room that, Father, we are not defeated. We're not going to walk around feeling like an elephant is sitting on our chest. We're going to get up today, Father, and get ourselves unstuck. We're going to break out of the glass ceiling, God. Just at that ceiling, we feel like we're stuck right here. We see the top, but we can't get out today. I prophesy over this house that, Father, we're not just breaking through, but we're breaking out, Father. We are not going to be in a place stuck and literally be able to move our feet, but won't. God, I speak financial blessings over this house. I speak favor over this house. I just prophesy a flash, just like a light, a beam that's magnifying us. That, Father, we're going to get the promotions we weren't even in line for. Father, we're going to get the houses. We were willing to rent a one-bedroom, but God, you're going to give us a five-bedroom house. Oh, everything that we lost, God, is nothing compared to what's bringing into our life. So, Father, I come, even the people that got to go to court this week, Lord, you go with them. Father, I thank you right now that marriages are being healed. I thank you right now, Father, that we ain't going to look at red in our checkbooks anymore, but God, we're going to see an overflowing abundance. Father, I speak against generational curses, and I break generational curses off of this house, that, Father, we're going to be full of generational blessings everywhere we go. We're going to be game changers and world changers. So, Father, we say, have your way. Say, Father, forgive me for getting in your way. Lord, forgive me for not believing you had my back when you really did. Come live in my heart. Take this pressure off of me. Take this pressure off of my heart, Father. Take this pressure off of me, God, that I'm carrying the burden, God, because oftentimes it's not the burdens that we carry, but the ones we pick up that we ain't supposed to. So, Father, right now, I thank you for faith. I thank you for faith, God. Our faith is on fleek, Jesus. I thank you right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, that we're the head and not the tail. We're the top and not the bottom. We're blessed going in and blessed going out. Father, I thank you right now for joy. And Lord, we thank you that you know our name. Some of y'all just need to tell your, he knows. That's a little high for me. I need y'all to sing it. Some of y'all need to prophesy to yourself.
He knows my name.
Come on, come on. Prophesy to yourself.
He knows my name.
And I want you to sing it like you mean it. Come on. Can't nobody prophesy over you like you can. Come on.
Oh, how he talks with me. Oh, how you tell me that I am your own.
You got his DNA, baby. Come on, we're about to leave this place, but I need you to get your faith built up right now. You're about to walk out in the world. Get your faith built up. It don't matter what you're facing today. You got this. Come on, some of you need to prophesy. I don't even care if you can't sing. Open your mouth and sing. Come on and take it back. Take it back. Thank you for having my back, God.
Yeah. Oh, how you talk with me.
Father, thank you that our faith is activated.
Oh, how you tell me.
Y'all feel it? I just saw in the spirit, some of you had your little checkbook out, and every day you're telling God how big your balance is. I ain't got this, all in the red. But I see this week a breakthrough happening in your life. You can't come to this church and struggle, because what's on me and Pastor Mark is dripping down on you. And what would normally take 6 years is going to take 3 years. What would normally take 3 years is going to take 1 year. This is your year of breakthrough. And not just a fake breakthrough, but a real breakthrough where you can say, look what God has done in my life. So as you leave today, I want right now in in the spirit. I count to three. I want you to put a praise on it. I want you to praise God on credit. I want everybody in Fayetteville, Georgia to know that we in this house and that we're a bunch of giant slayers.